Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back. Again, Erev Shabbos, again, Erev Chodesh, Ba'azor Hashem. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning after we're on hiatus due to the Chagim. So I hope everyone had a meaningful and uplifting Yom Tov season. And now we move full steam ahead into a long winter. So let us be warmed by the warmth of Divrei Torah. So we have two sponsors tonight. I thank them both very, very much. Ellen Goldstein, and she wrote very nicely, the old-fashioned, on a piece of paper, in the mail. Dear Michal, this sponsorship prior to Sefer Bereishis is with Hakaras HaTov Ta'kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's Hodu Hashem Kitov Kidalam Chasto for enabling me to stretch and learn. She looks forward to a new year of learning with wonderful insights and teachings, and she wishes us all Git Gaben Shtir, good health, great happiness, much nachas, warmly, Ellen Goldstein. So I see you there, and I thank you very, very much. Tiski the mitzos ulamaisim tovim. The Rebbeinu Shlomo should continue to bench you with the ability to learn. And also, Aviva Hach, I thank you very much as well. Aviva Hach wrote that she is sponsoring Lezecher Nishmas her maternal grandmother, Bia Hess, Bes Bas Avraham, Allah HaShalom. And Aviva wrote that her amuna and wisdom are a constant source of inspiration for our entire family. May her neshama have a zuchus aliyah and the merit of the divrei Torah that we will share together this evening. Tis kula mitzvos ulamaisim tovim. So let's get right into our learning. I always try and tie it in a little bit to something happening in the calendar. So actually, we're going to be looking at a Mishnah, and it occurred to me that this Mishnah connects the end of the Chumash with the beginning of the Chumash. It's Erev Shabbos, and just 2 days ago we read Vezos HaBracha. So it's interesting because this Mishnah connects right at the end of the Chumash with the beginning of the Chumash, and that's exactly what happens on Simchas Torah. We finish with Zos HaBracha, and right away after Zos HaBracha, Chazak v'nis Chazek and Hagva, we go right into Bereisha. So let's get started on the handout that I prepared for you. 1 second, let me just, here we go. Okay, could you see it says Avos 5, 6, Asar Devarim Nivru, yeah? Yes? Okay. Okay, so let's look at the Mishnah. Perakei enumerates different lists of different sects. So also in Perakei of Pirkei Avos, we also have the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, 10 generations from Noach to Avram. That also ties into Parshas Bereishis. But of course, Parshas Bereishis is Maaseh Bereishis, amongst other incredible narratives that the Torah delineates for us in Parshas Bereishis. A lot happens, a lot happens. There is also Maaseh Bereishis. The world was created. So the Mishnah tells us, Asar Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. Besides for everything that we learn in Perak Aleph that was created on each thing on each day, there was light and darkness, there was the Rakia HaShamayim, Yikavu HaMayim, Vatere HaYabasha, the Me'oros B'Rakia HaShamayim, Yishutu HaMayim Sheretz Of, V'Of Ye'ofeif. And finally, on day 6, you have the animals, and then you have man. On Yom HaShvi, you have Shabbos. So that is the order of creation. But the Mishnah also tells us, like you see here on my screen when I prepare for you, Asar Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. So we could spend probably a very long time on this Mishnah because 10 things were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. But for purposes of our share, I want to talk about one thing. The one thing that was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos that actually connects the end of the Chumash with the beginning, which is very significant because the Torah is a scroll. The Torah is not a book. So if you have a book has, imagine, I don't have a book right here to show you. The only thing on the table next to me are Sfarim, and that's not a good dogma, but because Sfarim are really like a scroll metaphysically. But when it comes to book, there's a beginning and an end. You start at the beginning, you finish at the end, you put it back in the library Dropbox, or you give it back to your friend, or you put it on the bookcase. A book ends. It begins and it ends. A scroll does not end and it does not begin. The fact that it's rolled into each other means it's always continuous. You can always start all over again. And that's exactly what the Torah is. And not to be forgotten that the last letter of Torah is Lamed Le'ene Kol Yisrael. The first letter of Torah is Breis Bereishis Bara. Lamed and Beis spell Lev. I don't think that this is a chiddush. I'm sure it's something you have all heard because just like the heart is the organ. We spend so much time talking about the heart. Remember? Give, take, heart, okay? So just like the heart is the organ that keeps us alive, so too the Torah is the metaphysical organ, the spiritual ruchniistic source of life of Klal Yisrael. And therefore it ends with the Lamed, it begins with the Beis, you roll it together, it's never finished. So there were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Shmashos on Yom HaShishi, at that period of twilight, as we're slipping into Shabbos Kodesh. Ve'elu hein piha aretz upiha be'er, the mouth of the ground that opened up in smaller koach, piha be'er, Miriam's be'er, piha osam, Bilam's donkey, v'ha kashos, next week's parasha, Noach, and the famous food that fell in the desert, the man, and the matah, the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu, the hashamir, the special worm that was put into the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. You put it onto the stones, the Avnei Shoam, the Avnei Miluim, and it engraved them without cracking the stones, because you couldn't crack the stones, but you had to somehow engrave the names of the Shvatim and Shivtei Yeshurun, okay? The haksav, the hamichtav, and the writing, and the letters, the haluchos, and the tablets. So this refers to, these three things refer to the luchos that Hashem gave Moshe. V'yesh'om, and there are those who say afa mazikin, harmful forces, shadim ukfu raso shel Moshe, which you see I highlighted, I bolded on my screen for you. So the Mishnah tells you that one of the things created Erev Shabbos Bein Shmashos was the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu, the caver of Moshe, which obviously happens right at the end of the book of Devarim, the Elo shel Avram Avinu. So you see here we have a nice journey really through Chumash, the Piha Aretz, Korach, Perak Tezayin Bamidbar, Piha Be'er, the well that accompanied them, Piha Asun, Bilam's donkey, Perak Chav Beish, Chav Gimach, Chav Dara, Bamidbar, the Kashas, we're going to come up to them, Perak Tes, in Bereshus, the man falls for the first time in Bashach, Perak Tezai, in the mat of Moshe, with which he did all of his famous miracles, the Shamir that serves Hashem by engraving the stones, the Luchas that were given in precious Kitisa, and then harmful forces, and then the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu, and some say the Isle of Avram Avinu, which we're going to come up to by the Akeda, Perak Chav Beish, the Yesh Amim Av Tzfas B'Tzav HaSuya, and there those who say tongs, T-O-N-G-S, which were made with tongs. So for purposes of our shir, what we are focusing on is the fact that this Mishnah connects Bereshis, Nivru, Bara, Bereshis, with Zos HaBracha, Ukfuraso, Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. So what I want to do with you now is take a moment and move away from our handout to go into the end of the Chumash. Okay, so I have that here also. Okay, so could you say I went to Devar Perak Lamed Aleph? Okay, this is just what we read on Simchas Torah. V'zos HaBracha does not get its own Shabbos. So sometimes in the hecticness of Yom Tov, and especially the hecticness of Simchas Torah, it's sometimes hard to remember that there's actually a parsha being read. And it's one of the most moving parshios. Moshe blesses the people, that Moshe Rabbeinu dies. So let's look at Perek Lamed Aleph together. Vayal Moshe me'ar v'smo. Moshe ascended from the plains of Moab to Me'ar Nevo, to the top of the peak that is facing Yericho. And God showed him the whole land, the Gilad, to Dan, it's called Naphtali. No, Rashi has drosh, but we're just looking at the Pshat over here on the land of Ephraim and Manasseh. And Rashi says, by these places, Hashem showed him the place Bishalvasa in its tranquility, also Bechurbana after the sin and its destruction. But Lamaisa on the Pshat, Moshe saw from north to south, from east to west, the entire land of Israel. And he saw the Negev, the south, and the plain of Yericho. Okay. And Hashem said to him, what are the last words that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu? Last words. Zos ha'aretz asher nishbati l'Avraham Yitzchak l'Yaakov. This is the land that I promised to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, saying to your seed, I will give it. Here isicha b'einecha v'sham lo tavar. Unbelievable. Those are the last words Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Not good job. Not, you know, you're getting an award. Not here's $1 million. Not you're going to have a famous grave that's going to become a shrine. Mamish, the last thing he says is, here isicha b'einecha v'sham lo tavar. What a moving, unbelievable goodbye to Moshe Rabbeinu. I thought of something interesting that I never thought of before. This is Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Dalet, chapter 34, verse 4. There are 18 words in this Pasuk. You go count them. Vayom Hashem Elav, Zod Ha'ares, Asher Nishpati, Avram Yitzchak, Yaakov, Leimor, Lezarecha, Et Nena, Hirisicha, Beinecha, Veshama, Lo Tavar. It means I forgot a word. Or I counted wrong. There are 18 words in the Pasuk. Vayom Hashem Elav, Zos ha'aretz asher nishbati l'Avraham Yitzchak u'liyakov, leimor lezarecha et nene, hirisicha beinecha v'shama lo tavar. I'm counting wrong. There are 18 words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. There are 18 words in the pasuk. Obviously, when I'm saying it, I'm forgetting a word. What word am I forgetting? Or I'm just counting wrong. I'm counting out. There are 18 words in the Pasuk. So I was thinking to myself something interesting. 18, of course, in Yahadus and a numeric value has great significance because it's the gematria of Chai. Of course, you know, it's very cute. If you go onto Amazon and you order a gift card, which I've done on multiple occasions, so it comes in denominations of 25, 50, 75, 100. You could customize it. You choose the denomination. If you've ever ordered an e-gift card on artscroll.com, it comes in denominations of 18. You can order for $18, 36, 54, 72. Why? Because we can't in denominations of 18, because 18 represents Chai, even artscroll.com. It's not like to with Amazon. It goes in denominations of 18. So I thought it was very interesting to myself that this pasuk has 18 words in it, Lamed Dalet Dalet, to teach you that even though Moshe Rabbeinu, a mortal, is dying, the Mesorah does not die with him. Netzach Yisrael, like the pasuk says in Shmuel, Am Yisrael is eternal, Am Yisrael chai, Torah's emes, Moshe emes, Vesorah Raso emes, and the Torah and the Mesorah that Moshe taught us will live on even after his physical death. Okay, and then Vayamasha Moshe Eved Hashem be'eretz Moav al pi Hashem, and there Moshe died, the servant of God in the land of Moab by the word of God, and Moshe has just died, and he buried him in the depression in the land of Moab, opposite Beis Pa'ar. Nobody knows his burial place until this very day. Moshe was 120 years old when he died. His eyesight did not dim. His moisture did not leave him. Rashi says, even after his death, and the Bnei Yisrael cried for Moshe, the plains of Moab for 30 days. The days of mourning finished, and Yehoshua ben Nun, who is full of the spirit of wisdom, because Moshe gave him smicha, and the children of Israel listened to him, and they did everything commanded. And a Navi in Israel never arose like Moshe, nor Hashem face to face, like all of the signs and the wonders that Hashem sent him to do in the land of Egypt, the power of a servant to the Chol Arzo. Okay, last pasuk of the Chumash. Ulechol Hayad HaChazaka, and for all the strong hand, for all the great awesomeness, Asher Asa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. And this is how the Chumash ends. Perek Lamed Dalet is really the end of the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though, like we said, of course, it's not the end of the story of Kol Yisrael. Chas v'sham, there's never an end to the story of Kol Yisrael. 18 words in the last pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu's life symbolizes that Moshe, as a mortal, is dying, but Am Yisrael and Torah Yisrael will always live on Chai. And the last thing Hashem says is, "See it with your eyes." There you will not go. And then Moshe dies. We're going to look at Rashi shortly, because Rashi actually quotes Pirkei Avos here. Okay? And he buried him in the depression. And the last pasuk tells us, for all hayad hachazaka, for all the strong hand, ulechol hamora hagadol, for all the great awesomeness, asher asa Moshe, that Moshe did, the ein kol Yisrael. Again, you see, the last letter is lamed. The first letter of Chumash is Beis. When you roll the scroll together, the Lamed touches the Beis, so to speak, and you have Lev, the heart of Klal Yisrael. So now I'm going to go back to my handout, now that we saw the last Perek. Here we go. Okay, so can you see I came back to my handout? Okay, so you see here that the pasuk tells us in Devarim Lamed Dalet Vav, Vayikbar Oso Bagai, he buried him in the depression. So the kasha is, who buried Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rashi quotes two opinions. Either Hashem buried him, and that is Rashi quoting the Gemara in Sota, Yudalet Aleph, where the Gemara says that the Torah begins with Chesed, ends with Chesed, it ends with Chesed. Vayikbar Oso Bagai, Levayis Hameis, Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Another opinion is that Moshe buried himself, so to speak. Hashem told him, go into the cave, lay down, stretch out your hands, just like happened to Aaron. So Lamaisa, Moshe was either buried by God or he buried himself, so to speak. If you ever take a tour, someone once told me they were somewhere in Jordan, and the tour guide said to them, I remember who told me which venue, and the tour guide said, that's the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu. We said, it's impossible. You can't, no one could tell you. They're just trying, you know, to sell you a pie in the sky. They can't tell you that that's the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Torah says, Velo yada ish es kfuraso ara yamazeh. Nobody knows his cave until this very day. So Rashi on this pasuk, Devarim Lamed Dalet Vav, quotes Mo Beis Pa'ar, Kivro Hayamuchan Sham Misheshes Yemei Bereshis. So it's interesting, when I was preparing the shiur, I realized something that I never realized before. Rashi is doing what Chazal are doing, I should say Rashi quotes it, but what Chazal are doing are really connecting the end of the Chumash with the beginning of the Chumash. They're connecting the final act of Chumash, the final moments of the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, with the beginning. They're connecting the Sof with the Haschala, which teaches that in Chumash there's no Sof and there's no Haschala. It's just one continuous cycle. We never end. We never begin again. We're always relearning over and over and over. And that's really what Chazal are doing here. They're telling you that there's an intimate connection. It's not the beginning of the book, the end of the book, finish, put it away. No, when you get to the end, what do you have to remember when you get to this Rashi? Kivro hayimichod sham mishreishes yamei bereishes. Look at this. Chazal are referring to sheishes yamei bereishes. They want you to know that as soon as you finish learning, you start all over again. And that's what we're doing. We don't say, oh, why should we continue this learning cycle? You know, we learned Pirkei Avos last year and the Shir Chabur, and we learned Pirkei Avos the year before and the Shir Chabur. So why are we doing this again? What do you mean? There's no such thing when it comes to Torah. As soon as you get to what you think is the end, don't forget the beginning. Start all over again. Kivro hayamuchan sham misheshes and mebereshes. So Rashi says that Moshe's kever was prepared there from the time of 6 days of creation. This is one of the things prepared. Lechaper amaisi pa'ar. So why was he dafka buried mol beis pa'ar? Because of what happened by Baal pa'ar, pure. After Bilam and the talking donkey, and it's not successful, he manages to convince the people to sin a different way. So Moshe was buried there to be mechaper, to atone for the sin of Baal Pa'ar. But for purposes of our share, what we have to know is that his grave was prepared from Sheshes and Mebereshes. And then Rashi says, V'zah echad min hadvarim shenivru bein hashmashos be'erev Shabbos. And this is one of the things, Moshe's grave, that was created, Nivru'u, Bereshis, Bara, Briyas Ha'olam, Borei Olam. This is one of the things that was created by twilight, by Erev Shabbos. Now, you already saw that, because we actually started in the Mishnah itself. But here you see that Rashi quotes it to the Chumash. Rashi actually quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that Moshe's grave was created all the way from the beginning. So when Hashem created the world, he already had in mind certain things that would be necessary going forward, so to speak. Hashem had everything on mind, but the Mishnah delineates them here. One of those is the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu. So at the time of his death, he's going into a special place that was appointed special for him from the time of Sheshes and Mebereshes. Okay, so what happens at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life? Okay, so the last pasuk of Chumash tells us, Perak Lamedale Pasuk Yibes, Udachol Hayad HaChazaka, for all the strong hand, Ulechol Hamora Hagado, for all the great awesomeness, Asher Asa Moshe Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Oops, I have a typo in my hands right here. That should not be there. That Moshe did before the eyes of the children of Israel. Okay, so what are we talking about here? So let's look at Rashi. What's the fine things? Now, don't forget, we can't learn Torah Shabichtav without Torah Shabbat. Then we would be the Tzadukim, the Sadducees, Chas V'Shalom. So we can't learn Chumash without Rashi. Can learn Chumash without Rashi. Okay, that's where we start. So what does Rashi say? What is the Chol Hayad HaChazaka? So Rashi says, Shekibel Sotor B'luchos B'yadav. What is the strong hand? The strong hand is that he was able, he was so strong. He was immortal, but he was so beyond mortality in a sense. He was able to accept the Torah, receive, I should say, the Torah that is written on the Luchos in his hands. This is also, by the way, if you remember the Mishnah, well, it was created Erev Shabbos Bein Shmashos. The Mishnah says, V'haksav, V'hamichtav, V'haluchos, writing and letters and the Luchos. So here, Rashi, at the end of Chumash, once again refers to another element that was created Erev Shabbos Bein Shmashos. U'lochol hayad ha'chazakah, shekibla sator b'luchos b'yadav. We're referring to the Luchos and the Michtav, and this was also created Erev Shabbos Bein Shmashos. It's just incredible. The final Rashis of Chumash are really linking you back to the beginning. Rashi wants you to continue the feedback loop of going back to the beginning to learn again. So this is the Chol Hayad Chazaka. Furthermore, what is the Chol Hamora HaGadol, all the great awesomeness? Nisim Ugvua Shabamidbra HaGadol V'Hanara. What does it mean that Moshe did great awesomeness? It's the miracles and the mightiness in the desert, the great and awesome desert. Some of those were also created Erev Shabbos Bein Shmashos, particularly the man. That is one of the great miracles of the desert. Another thing created Erev Shabbos Bein Shmashos, one of the great miracles of the desert, Pi HaBe'er. That too is a great miracle of the desert. What about Pi Ha'aretz that swallowed Korach? That was also in the desert. So once again, you see that many of these items or creations created Erev Shabbos Bein Shmashos are mamash referred to by Rashi right at the end of Chumash. You think it's an accident? How many times do I say? 100 times, 1,000 times, nothing in the Torah is by accident. It's not an accident that Rashi is referring here to this Mishnah, which is really telling you, go all the way back to the beginning, at the end of the Chumash, don't forget, Sheshes Yamei Bereshes. Now let us talk about the last phrase of Chumash, the Einei Kol Yisrael. Okay, that's the last words of entire Chumash before the eyes of the entire Israel. So famous Rashi, I think it's a famous Rashi. So Rashi says, what is the final act that Moshe did here that the Torah is alluding to? The Einei Kol Yisrael, Shenaso Libo Lishbar Haluchos. Moshe's heart motivated him, moved him to smash the luchos, le'enehim, before their eyes. When the pasuk says le'ene kol Yisrael, something that Moshe did before the eyes of the entire Israel, you're talking about the fact that his heart motivated him to smash the luchos before their eyes. Shanemar, like the pasuk says, Moshe recalls vashabram le'enehim, I broke them, meaning the luchos, before their eyes. V'hiskima das hamakom baruch hu l'dato, and you shall know. Hashem was maskim. He gave his haskama. Hiskima, haskama. Hashem gave his approbation. Hashem said, I agree with you. Hiskima das kosh baruch hu dato. Hashem's mind, his opinion, was maskim with Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar, asher shibarta. Hashem says to Moshe, you broke them. But that means, yishar kochecha, asher shibarta. Good job, yishar kochecha. Thank you. I agree with you. I'm happy you broke the luchos. Yishar really means straight. Kochecha means your strength. Really, it's a bracha. Your strength should continue to be straight. That you broke them. Yashar koch. You're really giving a person a bracha that they should continue to have straight strength. You should continue along the straight path of strength in your avodas Hashem. We translate it as good job. Thank you very much. Shashi Bartos, this is the final Rashi. This is also a reference to Sheishas Yimei Bereishis, because what was created during Erev Shabbos Beinish Mashos, the Ksav, Michtav, V'Haluchos. It's just incredible how these final Rashis are really all a reference to this Mishnah, to the items created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. V'Feirush, the great wonders in the desert, include Pi Ha'aretz, Pi Ha'be'er, Pi Ha'ason, the Man, the Mater, Ktav, Michtav, Luchos, and Kfurasau, Shal, Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see how fundamental it is to make sure when you get to the end, you go back to the beginning. And these things were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos as referenced by Rashi right at the end of the Chumash. So I want to spend some time talking about the Luchos, which were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos and were smashed by Moshe. When did he smash the Luchos? He smashed the Luchos that were so holy that they were created at twilight, at dusk, on that sixth day of creation, when he comes down from the mountain. It's Shivasar Batamas, and the people are dancing around this Egel Hazav that they have created. Moshe comes from down from the mountain, and he sees what's going on. He sees this tremendous travesty. He sees what's happening, and instead of giving the people the luchos, he smashes them down. Now, who gave him the right to smash the luchos? Hashem created these luchos, so to speak, at a holy time. And yet Moshe takes it upon himself to break these luchos. That's what Rashi says, Shenaso libo lishbor haluchos leinim. His own heart motivated him, moved him, and carried him to smash the tablets before their eyes. Va'asha brain leinichem, I smash them. Shem didn't say you should smash the luchos. Moshe did it on his own. Even though they were so holy, he darshed into himself and he passed the halachic psak halacha that these luchos need to be broken. But Hashem Tak agreed with him. Hashem agreed with his mind. Asher Shibarta, the final words of Rashi on Chumash, Yishar Kochecha Shashibarta. Good job that you broke them. So, what's going on? Okay, I think we've gone through the Mishnah enough to recognize, I repeat it a number of times, I don't want to sound like a broken record, chas v'sham, that this Mishnah very strongly is alluded to in many different items at the end of Chumash, from the Kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Luchos to the miracles in the desert. I want to talk a little bit about what it means that Moshe smashed the Luchos. And that is what you should remember as the parting message according to Rashi in his commentary to Chumash. Okay. So I'm going to stop screen sharing, then I'll come back to it. One idea that Moshe smashed the Luchos, and we should remember that. And Hashem says, Yisher kochecha shashibarta. Your strength should be straightened. You should continue along this path. Good job that you broke them. Is the idea that Chazal teach, Shavira zuhi kiyuma. Shavira zuhi kuyuma. Sometimes, in order to keep the Torah, we have to break the Torah. I just thought of a source that I didn't think of when I was preparing the shir, or it would be in front of me. I'm going to see if I can find it very quickly. Otherwise, I'm not going to. I'm still here. I'm trying to see if I can find it very quickly. Okay. Are you bearing with me? Obviously, had I thought of it when I was preparing shiur, I would have it open and prepared. I found it, Baruch Hashem. That wasn't so long. Was that so long? I don't think so. It felt like so long because I stopped the shiur for a minute, but here we go. Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. So, first of all, that I had the machshava, and second of all, that I found it relatively quickly. Okay, so sometimes we have this idea that we just read it in Kohelas. I'm not going to go get the Kohelas now. But we just read in Kohelas, Al Tahit Tzadik Harbe, if you remember, which we can paraphrase into Al Tatzdik Harbe. Sometimes, Shavua Zuhi Kiyuma. In order to keep the Torah, sometimes you have to break the Torah. And that's what Moshe perhaps wants us to know, and God is masking. So you've just gone through the whole journey of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And you read, Mechalala Mos Yumas. Lo Saviru Eish Bechal Mosh Vaseh B'yam HaShabbos. You learned in Bereishis, V'yichul HaShemayim V'aretz V'chal Tzavam, V'yichalakim B'yam HaShvi Melech Torah Sha'asa. It's this week's parasha, Perek Beis Psukim Aleph through Gimel. V'yikadesh Elokim Es Yam HaShvi, V'yivarech Elokim Es Yam HaShvi, V'yikadesh Es Elokim V'o Shava Mikol Melech L'Asher Barim Asher Bara Elokim Asos. Perek Beis Psukim Aleph through Gimel. Parshas Bereishis. So you journey through and you learn Zachar Shalma Shabbos Kadsho and you learn Shama Shalma Shabbos Kadsho, Yisrael and Veschana respectively. So you are never going to break Shabbos. Never ever going to break Shabbos. What's the last lesson of Chumash? The last lesson of Chumash is sometimes Shavira Zuhi Kiyuma. In order to keep Torah, sometimes you have to smash, you have to break the Torah. So this is the source I was looking for that I found, I think, within a minute and a half. It's from the Sefer called The Rav, Volume 1, by Rabbi Arnra Kefet Rothkopf. Okay. This was related by the Rav, Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechuk, Zatzal, to his Talmud class when the author was a student at Yeshiva University. In other words, when Rabbi Rakefet was a student at Yeshiva University, the Rav related this. This story was also related by Rav Herschel Schechter, in a lecture, Congregation Kilas Yeshur in New York, January 1994. Okay. This book is like vignettes and teachings from Rav Salvechuk, and it always gives before each one the date and the time that he said it. So the Rav remembered that as a youth, he once took ill while visiting his grandfather in Bristol. So the Rav related the story, and then one of his primary Talmidim, who is now the Rosh Yeshiva of Herschel Schechter, one of the Poskei Hadar, related this Maisa as well in the name of Rav Salvechuk as Rabbi. The Rav remembered that as a youth, he once took ill while visiting his grandfather in Brisk. It was a Friday night. He probably had strep throat. They sent for the doctor, who was not Jewish. Standing around the sick youngster, were his grandfather, Rav Chaim, his grandfather was Rav Chaim Brisker, the son of the Beis Halevi, his father, Rav Moshe Salvechuk, and the dying of Brisk, Rav Simcha Zelig. Rav Simcha Zelig and Rav Chaim Brisker, if you read anything about the history of Brisk, and Rav Chaim Brisker were very, very, very close, and they worked hand in hand together in the town of Brisk. So standing around this young sick boy was his grandfather, Rav Chaim, his father, Rav Moshe, Rav Chaim's son, and the dying of Brisk of Simcha Zelig. The doctor utilized the glow of the kerosene lamp, to examine the youngster's throat. Rav Chaim asked whether the doctor felt it was necessary to turn the lamp up. The doctor responded it would not be a bad idea. Rav Chaim immediately turned to his son and asked him to turn up the light higher. Rav Moshe, the son of Rav Chaim, the father of the child, intuitively exclaimed, "It's Shabbos. Ask the doctor if he really needs more light." The Rav remembered his grandfather got angry at his father. He declared to Rav Simcha Zelig that his son was an ignoramus. He did not understand that Shabbos plays no role where there is danger to life. The brisker dying immediately turned up the light. Footnote, which you might be wondering yourself, the Rav then wondered why Rav Chaim himself did not adjust the lamp. Okay, so some of you are nodding yes. Perhaps you wanted to be mechanech his son. That there's another story told about Rav Chaim Brisker that I told over recently about Yom Kippur. He went around with Rav Simcha Zelig, if you remember, the Bund member who was arrested on Yom Kippur, Rav Chaim Bund, not religious youth, who was arrested on Yom Kippur. Rav Chaim stopped all the davening in Brisker and Kol Nidre, and they raised 3,000 rubles, and he took the train the next day on Yom Kippur to the police commissioner, and then they traveled to the main town of Warsaw to save the youth. So it's certainly not that Rav Chaim did not feel he could not be Michal the Shabbos, and he wanted someone else to. Maybe he was being Mechanech, his son Rav Moshe. But what is the point? Why did I bring you this source? Because when the doctor said it would not be a bad idea, so today you think it's strep throat, what's the big deal? Probably 100 years ago in Europe, it wasn't like it is today, that it's so easy and you take amoxicillin. Infections were very often common infections that we think of today is so commonplace, were probably, or not probably, or often could be very, very life-ending. You know, I sent to the orthodontist when one of my kids, Mrs. Siklik, are you here tonight joining us? Fran, are you here? I think so. So I said to, we really did four kids back to back at the orthodontist. So with one of the kids, I finally said to orthodontist, what would happen if we didn't do this? So I said, it's just cosmetic, or like you really need to do this. So he said, no, it's medical. It's not just cosmetic. I said, what did they do in the olden days? He said, they died. When they got a tooth infection, they died. In fact, Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin was nifter at the age of 43. He did not have children, biological children, I should say. He was nifter at the age of 43, shortly before the war broke out, of a tooth infection. He got a tooth infection, and 2 weeks later, he died. So clearly, while considered commonplace today, was not commonplace then, the doctor felt it would, quote, not be a bad idea to have more light, at which point Rav Chaim immediately instructed his son, Rav Moshe, to turn up the kerosene lamp, to which he instinctively replied, it's Shabbos, asked the doctor if he really needs more light. The Rav remembered his grandfather got angry at his father, and then the dayan of Simcha Zelig immediately turned up the lamp. Rav Chaim said about his son, he is an ignoramus, and Shabbos plays no role when there is danger to life. So what do we understand here? We understand here that the final message of Torah is Shavua Zuhi Kiyuma. Sometimes the breaking of the Torah is the keeping of the Torah. Like we read in Kohelas, Al Tid Tzadik Harbi. Sometimes you can't be such a tzadik. Sometimes you can't be such a tzadikish. You have to know when there's room to break the luchos. Shanasa libo lishparha luchos leinim. The same luchos that say Zachar Shama Shabbos Tekadjo. The same luchos that say Shomer Shama Shabbos Tekadjo. Sometimes, in order to keep those very same luchos, which were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, you have to smash them in order to keep them. The story that I included in my notes, which is I was going to tell you before I remember the story of the Rav, comes from Rabbi Zev Lef. So Rabbi Zev, this is very cute. In the sukkah on Wednesday evening, that morning I ran for a fashuk. I listened to a different Magid Shir, who I sometimes listen to and also enjoy his shiurim. So I was at the dinner table and I told over at Dvar Torah that I heard from him. So one of my boys says, I've never heard you quote him in my life. He said, did Rabbi Zev Lef quote him? In other words, you want to know if Rabbi Zev Lef quote him? And that's why I went to listen to this other Magid Shir. So Rabbi Zev Lef tells over the following story. Rabbi Zev Lef says, when I was a young Rav in my Miami. He had a certain congregant who had a certain heart condition, and the wife called Rabbi Zev Lef, and she said, Rabbi Lef was a young rabbi and most of his congregants were much older than him, and she said, Rabbi, I have a problem. My husband is insisting that he has to fast on Yom Kippur, but the doctor said if he fasts, he's threatening his life. So Rabbi Zev Lef said, what's the story? So she said, the doctor says he has to take his medication and eat 3 regular meals. So Rabbi Zev Lef asked for permission to speak to the doctor, and he calls the doctor. And the doctor, who is either not religious or not Jewish, I don't remember, says, Rabbi, the man cannot fast on Yom Kippur. He has to eat 3 regular meals. This is his condition. So Rabbi Zev Lef then called another doctor for another opinion. He figured that maybe this doctor doesn't understand the severity of Yom Kippur. Maybe he doesn't understand that Jews have to fast for 26 hours on Yom Kippur, and it's, you can't just say eat. So he calls another doctor, a firm cardiologist, to consult with him. If you had a patient with this condition and Yom Kippur was coming, what would you do? So the doctor he's consulting with, as totally not nogea badavar into the matter, the doctor says, I would tell my patient he has to eat 3 regular meals a day. Na shiurim, he has to eat 3 regular meals a day. Shabbos Avav calls this man, his congregant, and he says, listen, I've heard him tell the story over multiple times. Maybe you heard me tell the story over before. So he says, listen, I spoke to your wife, I spoke to your physician, and I spoke to another physician. I consulted with a second opinion, and I'm the rabbi. Everyone agrees, the wife, your doctor, second opinion, and myself, you have to eat on Yom Kippur. So the man says, Rabbi, I have fasted every Yom Kippur since my bar mitzvah, and I'm fasting this Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Zavlev says, if you fast on Yom Kippur, you will never get another Aliyah in Arshul again. So the man says, what? So Rabbi Zavlev says, listen, we give Aliyahs to a lot of people in this show. Not everybody's Shomer Shabbos, we give them Aliyahs, but I've never given an Aliyah to an Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and I'm not starting now. And says, what? Rabbi Zavlev says, I don't care if you worship the Zeus god, or the sun god, or the river god, or the Yom Kippur god. But you're now worshiping our god, because our god says you have to eat on Yom Kippur. So at the end of the story, Rabbi Zavlev says, is quote, the man ate on Yom Kippur. Sorry. The man ate on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Zavlev says, apparently his aliyahs were very important to him. Sometimes a person has to know the final lesson of the Chumash. You learn through the entire Chumash. And now you could be a big kana, like Pinchas, and you're never going to break the Torah, and you're never going to tune up the kerosene lamp, and you're never going to eat on Yom Kippur, and you're never going to travel with the bris dayan on Yom Kippur for the train to save a bun member because he's off of derech anyway and he's not religious, and why should we stop all the davening and all the shows of bris to raise 3,000 rubles because the kid got himself in trouble. The final lesson of Torah, and I'm not saying anyone should take matters into their own hands, chas v'sham. I'm not saying you could decide. But if you consult with your Das Torah, and the answer is Shvira Zuhi Kiyuma, then Hashem says, Yisher Kochecha Shashibarta. Good job that you broke the Luchos. A person has to know that sometimes it's necessary to break the Torah in order to keep the Torah. And it shows you the Torah's sensitivity to human need, to a person's health. Sometimes it's mental health. Sometimes it's physical health. To our sensitivity. Every shaila is taken so closely into consideration. They look at the totality of who you are, of what you need. That's why two people could ask the same shaila, and you get one psak, and your friend gets another psak, and you're wondering to yourself, how is it? Maybe it's even the same rabbi, that the same rabbi told her one thing and told me another thing. How could it be? Because you're not the same people. And your needs are not her needs. And the Torah takes that into consideration for each and every person. And I was thinking of something very, very interesting. I'm going to go back to screen share with you. Okay, we're not going to get to the second half of the hands out tonight. No way. But I want to show you something very interesting. So the final phrase of Torah Shabbat Peh is Yishar Kochecha Shashibata. Wait, could you see that I'm back on my screen? I forgot to ask you. Yes, yes. Okay. Yishar kochecha shibarta. Okay. So shibarta, that you broke them, that you broke what? You broke the luchos. What are the luchos? The things that were created, Erev Shabbos, Beinu Shmashos, not only Moshe's cave air, not only the miracles of the desert, but these very luchos that were created, Erev Shabbos, Beinu Shmashos, which is Parshas Bereishis, connection to Vezosa Brecha, you broke them. So Rashi is clearly, as we said in the first part of the year, cueing us into the fact that when we finish, we have to begin again. He connects very subtly. You might not notice it, but Rashi's connecting. He could choose anything. Rashi had Ruach HaKodesh. You know, Rashi did not have the Encyclopedia Britannica or the Encyclopedia Judaica or the Concordaxa, the Bar Ilan program, when he made his commentary 1,000 years ago. When he quotes from Nehemiah, when he quotes from Ezra, when he quotes from Divrei HaYamim, when he quotes from the Gemara, when he quotes from the Medrash, it's unbelievable. Just sometimes appreciate the godless of Rashi when you're learning Chumash. I mean, it's unbelievable. What do you think? He could look up online. Where in Pirkei Avos does it say the 10 things created Erev Shabbos Ben Shmashos, to put it into his commentary and tell you, for a social Moshe Rabbeinu, Muchan Mishesh Bei Bereishis? It's unbelievable. 1,000 years ago. He knew Kol Torah Kulo, literally. And Rashi chooses to tell you that the very luchos that were created Erev Shabbos Ben Shmashos were smashed, and that's the final message of Rashi. That's the final message of Torah Shabbat Peh, of Rashi, on Chumash. He's connecting the end to the beginning. And I noticed something, Gevaldik. I was thinking about this. Ready? I'm going to type it for you. while you're looking, so it's not there in advance, so you can't see it beforehand. I hope everyone's having a nice time and enjoying the, like my son says, I picked him up from yeshiva this afternoon. He's been a semana, but Baruch Hashem, he goes to learn a yeshiva near us, yeshiva gadol, 5 tenths. He says, I read a Myra Dikvart, which he shared with me. So I hope everyone's enjoying the, what I hope is Myra Dikvart Torah this evening. So the last word of Torah Shabbat Peh on Chumash is Shibarta. Rashi is clearly cluing us in to Bereishis, as we have seen repeatedly from the final Rashis of Chumash. The first word of Chumash is Bereishis. What's extremely interesting is that Bereishis is made up of the letters Shibarta. I mean, just look on my screen. That's what I'm doing with for you while I'm teaching it. I wasn't here before, so you couldn't see it ahead of time. But you see it's made of the words Shibarta. There's the Shin. I'm going to underline here. Actually, what I should do is make spaces so you could see what I'm doing. Okay, look, follow. Line inside of the Shir, Bli Neder. Shin, Beis, Reish, and Tav. Those that are spelled Shibarta. And then there's two more letters. And that is an Aleph and a Yod. Okay, I hope you know what I'm doing. Should be clear. Okay, so Shibarta, the last message of Chumash, Yasher Koch Asher Shibarta, so Shibarta what? So Shibarta the Luchas. Which Luchas? The Luchas that were created, says the Mishnah, Erev Shabbos Benish Pashos. So as soon as you finish Chumash, you should already be thinking about Sheishas and maybe Rishis. Never mind the Kever of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ktav, the Michtav, fine. Shibarta is the last word of Rashi. Hashem is happy Moshe broke the Luchas. We already explained Shavira Zuhi Kiyuma, we quoted the Rav. We quoted Rabbi Zevlef, we quoted Kohelas. We have to understand that sometimes after you learn through the whole Chumash, you can't finish Chumash and say, I'm never going to be Michal Shabbos. A person could never say that. Why not? Sometimes you have to be Michal Shabbos. So it's very interesting that the letters of Shibarta are the letters of Bereishis, and then two letters are outlining, and that's the Aleph and the Yud. So if you want to know what it means to be a Bereishis Yud, a Jew who's going to keep Torah, call it Torah Kula, or strive to. A Jew who's going to journey through Torah. You have to know sometimes you're going to have to break the Chumash. You're going to have to break them, what seems to be the mitzvahs. The mitzvah in that case is to break it. So what do you need to always remember? To go from Shibarta to Bereishis. The Achdus, the Aleph, the oneness of Hashem in your life. Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad. And the Aseres HaDibros, Yod. If a person always lives with the realization, the recognition, the reality, three R's, realization, recognition, and reality, that there is one God, Shema Yisrael, it's a tenet of our faith, Devar and Perek Vav Pasuk Dalet, Hashem Elkein Hashem Echad, the Aseres HaDibros begins with Anochi and Aleph, you have to always remember the Achdus of Hashem, and if you always remember the Achdus of Hashem, you will live your life keeping the Aseres HaDibros, Aseres HaDibros, which were engraved on the Luchos, which were created Erev Shabbos Benish Mashos, the Ktav, the Micht of the Luchos, which Moshe broke at the end of his life. You love Torah? I hope you love Torah. It's amazing. Could I make this up? It's unbelievable. Rashi's godless is not just that he knows Kol Torah Kula, like literally Kol Torah Kula. It's not just that he can call from everywhere in Torah, Baal Peh and Bichtav. It's that he has subtle hints in his pshatim that we have to recognize what he's doing. He is connecting at the end of Chumash, like we saw, L'chol ha'yara chazakah, shekibla satar, baluchos, which are created of Erev Shabbos, Benish Mashos, nisim igvur shabam midbar ha'gadol, including the man, including the mat, including the pia ashen, including the pia be'er, including the pia aretz. And the last Rashi, l'shbar ha'luchos. So yishar kocha chasha shibarta, Kiyuma zuhi shvira. No, shvira zuhi kiyuma. Shibarta is made up of the letters, or I should say Bereishis is made up of the word shibarta plus two osios. One is the aleph, because a Jew must always live with the Shema Yisrael Hashem Akeinu Hashem Echad and the Anochi. And a Jew must always live by the tenet of the Aseres HaDibros. And if you strive to fulfill the Aseres HaDibros, the Yod, sometimes by keeping them, and sometimes by breaking them, you will be a Jew who lives from the Bereishis through Shibarta the kolotur kulo, knowing when to uphold and keep them whole, knowing at times when to break them, al pidas Torah. And in this way, you will be living a complete Jew who journeys through the whole scroll of Torah and the lave of Am Yisrael. So the Mishnah tells us, Sasar Dvarim Nivu Be'erav Shabbos B'ina Shemashos Ve'elu Hein, Pia Aretz, Pia Be'er, Pia Asan HaKashos Va'aman Va'amata Va'ashamir Va'aktav Va'michtav Va'aluchos Ve'esh Omrim Afam Azikin Ukvur Asol Shal Moshe Ve'elu Shal Avram Avinu Ve'esh Omrim Af Tzvas B'tzvas Asur. I thank our two sponsors tonight very, very much because it's in their schos that we had here tonight. So I thank Ellen Goldstein. She is sponsoring Hodu LaHashem Kitov, Kili Olam Chasto, and Aviva Hach, Lezech Nishmas, her maternal grandmother, Bas Bas Avram, Allah Shalom, may the Neshama have his chus, Aliyah, and the merit of these Divrei Torah. I thank you so much for joining me. As I mentioned on the chat, please share this with your friends. Maybe you have friends who are interested in his chus of this Torah sponsorship. We need sponsors for, I think I wrote November 7th and November 13th, right? Is that what I wrote on the chat? Does anyone remember? There's two Novembers, two dates in November that do not have a sponsor. Please reach out to me. Have a wonderful, gevaldic, uplifting Shabbos of Parshas Bereishis and Be'ezras Hashem Chodesh Tov. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov.